Guaso, bro.
Ay.
There's not a rule that you have to use the three subs.
He's the best left back in Canada, without a doubt.
Right, and hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Third Sub Podcast. I'm your co-host Alexander Gungirusik, joined as always by Samuel Rowan, and let's not waste any time. I guess this week it's been a bit of a busy one. Vancouver Whitecaps continue their 2023 season, bit of MLS action as expected, but of course the long-awaited return to the Champions League. Bit of a fun one that. A bit of a high note, I guess, so far in what's been a really weird campaign so far. But before we dive into what the heck is going on with Vancouver, because it is a question you can ask. And that's not a bad question. It's just like, what the heck is going on? I mean, you see the highs of it in the Champions League, maybe some of the lower ends of it in MLS. But before we dive into all that, what the heck is going on with Samuel Rowan? But how is it going, Sam?
Doing very well, yeah. Had a good extended long weekend away in Edinburgh, great city. Had a good time, but yeah, also some Whitecaps action going on in the background that I was able to tune into as well. So really, really enjoyed. I mean, great to just see the Whitecaps back in the Champions League. You know, even though it wasn't a barn burner memorable match, maybe in the sense that it, you know, came down right to the wire, that it, you know, the score was nip and tuck the whole way. It's just great to see the Whitecaps playing against continental opposition again. I thought that was really a really good feeling, and tremendous job by the Whitecaps to take care of business, at least in the first leg, and make their lives somewhat easier headed down to Honduras. Obviously, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then in terms of MLS form, the mixed bag start to the season continues, because, I mean, Alex, we were just talking about this right before the show. There's a lot to be really excited about. I think the continued tremendous play of the midfield and, Yoyi Takaoka and goal, like there's a lot to be really encouraged by. But this draw, 1-1 draw with FC Dallas at home, another example of not taking advantage of your home matches and some of the similar problems from the first two matches showing up. So, an odd start to the season. I think, you know, probably under delivering on expectations at the moment, but the signs of the team they want to be are definitely there. So I think, weirdly, I'm encouraged at this point. I like overall what I've seen. Some polishing, some fine tuning, some tweaking is required. But I'm pretty excited about the building blocks, and I think that's something that at least makes these matches really interesting to watch. And hopefully, the W's start piling up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's hard to know how to feel about all this from a Whitecaps perspective, because I guess it depends. It's the classic, like, glass half full, glass half empty. I mean, look, let's be realistic. 1 point from three games start the season, not good enough. I mean, let's, we'll keep it frank, just because for a team that doesn't want to just make the playoffs but wants to compete, you can't be getting away with that, especially considering you dropped two home games. And not only that, you dropped two home games that you probably should have won. I mean, look, Dallas and RSL are good teams, but I think those are games you look back at the balance of play in both of the games they should have won. And then you go out on the road. Okay, look, like road results are never easy, but considering you've already dropped points at home, you go on the road, maybe you would have liked a little more, considering they went up 1-0 on the road. Maybe a veteran team claws out a 1 point, and all of a sudden you're talking about 5, 6, 7 points to start the year. That's like the frustrating side of it. But at the same time, like you mentioned, Sam, it feels like this team right now is like one or two good moments away from a run. And we saw it against Real España. Like, when they got going, okay, this is like the team we've wanted, this is the team we've heard about, this team we've, been seeing on paper, that finally came together. But then it's like, okay, in MLS, that click isn't happening yet. And obviously, you have to talk about the different levels of teams, but at the same time, like, this is a good win. I mean, there's really, other than the Caps battering España and You know, LAFC batting Alajuelense, they 3-0 on the road. All the other Champions League games have been extremely close. If not, there's upsets like, you know, Violette AC, who hadn't played in over almost a year, Austin handily at home, like, or not even at home, in a neutral site. It wasn't even close. Like, Philadelphia went and battled out a hard 0-0 draw with Alianza. And, you know, like, this reality, a lot of these Champions League ties are pretty close. And again, it shows, like, the Whitecaps, it feels like they're, like, you know, I obviously can't see what I'm doing on the screen, but it feels like they're a millimeter away, like an inch away from being where they can be. But that's frustrating because it's like, what's it going to take? Like, it just feels like what is needed. It's hard to it's not tangible necessarily. It's not like as easy as X and X needs to happen. Of course, there's some tactical tweaks that still need to happen, of course, but it also just feels like there's a snap of the finger away as well.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, because there's always going to be mixed reaction, right? About, I think some people were quite impressed by the win and others immediately would point to the level of competition. And my response to that would be, well, look at the Canadian Championship in recent seasons for Vancouver, right? Like, nothing has been guaranteed. And these have been the kinds of matches that they've really struggled with before, where, you know, you're on your home pitch or you're in your home province and all of a sudden all the eyes are on you to perform, and they haven't been able to get the job done. And so to see a flip of that, where you're expected to win, you're expected to put up goals, and then you go out and deliver that, I think that's that speaks to the quality of this team. That speaks a bit to, as you said, I think the mentality of this team when they're up for it, when the motivation is right. So I think that's really encouraging. And great to see a Pedro Vite get in the score sheet. I thought it was really cool that Tristan Blackman, he talked so much about how excited he was for Champions League week of, you know, just getting into all the little nitty gritty details, and for him to be the one to score the first goal for the Whitecaps. I thought that was really cool. You can just tell, like, when a player is up for a match, and he seems like a guy that puts a little bit extra emotion, a little bit, you know, a little more of his heart into it. Yeah. And certainly, like, it's very, you can always see on his face how he's feeling. And so that was cool. And then Brian White getting on the score sheet as well. I mean, we could talk a little bit about his struggles overall in MLS play, but it can't be bad that he found the back of the net. And just in general, I think I was impressed by the fact that the Whitecaps didn't rotate much. Like, they really put out a full strength starting 11. And I think this backs up what Vanny was saying during the off season, where I wasn't 100% sure he was going to back this up, but he talked about reducing that squad size essentially. Right. And that he does want to rely on his depth, but that he's essentially taken that pool of players that he considers his core roster and shrunk it down. And I think we're seeing that, where there's not going to be crazy platoon substitutions this year, and I think that's good for building familiarity, building an identity in the way they want to play. So going out and getting to build some of that identity and you know, fluidity and all of that against a good team, maybe not up to the level of MLS play, but nonetheless a team you had to go out and beat, I think it's still a massive positive. And yeah, I mean, the Whitecaps don't have a result like this in the Champions League yet, so you got to go and put one up there, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's very interesting too, the point about the depth. I mean, look, we can talk about Vanni Sartini, how he views some players, like what's going on with Christian Dahomey, why Matias Laborda, known center back, dominant center back in Uruguay, is now being converted into a right back. Why Tristan Blackman, formerly a right back, is now being converted into a center back. We can discuss all those until the cows come home, because, yeah, some of the experiments have worked out. Julian Gressel, I don't know where the heck they found out that he was this very competent, all-purpose, you know, very good number eight. So that, hey, you can claw one up even on that side for the Vanny experience. But it is truth in terms of the squad that does see the field for the most part, like it's a pretty regular group, and that is making a difference. Also, what I liked about this Hispania game is how they approached it, not just in terms of the players they put out, but how they put them out. Like, I like that, you know, Vanni Sartini saw that the Real España wasn't going to be very heavy in the midfield. And to counter that, he went with like a 4-2-3-1, like a bit of a tweak, one where it was okay. Like it was Cordova leading the line, which was good to see him get some minutes under his belt. And then he went for that like trio of tens, you can almost call it, of Dahomey on the right, Gald underneath, and then Vitae on the left. And then the double pivot of, you know, I guess it was Gressel and Andres Cuba. So it was a bit of a tweak, and it was smart because, I mean, it's what we mentioned in the lead up to the game. And then we got to see Ryan Raposo start, which again, I hope we see a lot more of that, because he then showed on the weekend that I think he brings something different to that left back position that just was missing with Luis Martins in the lineup. And, you know, Raposo proved himself well on both sides of the ball. And I think that's good. I mean, again, I think there's little things to be figured out within the lineup, but it was nice to see that sort of rotation. And I think most importantly, I mean, I don't really have much to say about the España game itself other than what it means contextually, which we can get into. But in terms of the game itself, I also just like the confidence that the Caps showed with their goals. I think it was good that they weren't just like scoring jammy goals. Like it was a well-worked corner. Like it was Ryan Raposo showing a bit of individual brilliance. It was some great runs off the ball, like Pedro Vite's run and the ball from Ryan Gald, or the ball Gald played to Dahomey before the own goal. Like they also played some stunning stuff. And again, you can question the level all you want, but I think for a Whitecaps team that no matter who they've played against have struggled to control and impose themselves on games, I think that was a good sign to see them do that in the second half. And it shows what's capable, you know, what this group is capable of doing in games going forward. And unfortunately, we didn't see it against Dallas, which we'll get into shortly. But I think it was good to see that against España, given the stakes of these sorts of Champions League games.
Yeah, I would just say, picking up on what you just mentioned, one, you know, theme that ran through both of the most recent matches was the ability to respond to a little bit of early adversity, right? I mean, obviously against FC Dallas, the goal inside 5 minutes, but against Real España, like a couple pretty decent chances for the visitors early on. Takaoka makes a big save, and the Whitecaps were able to settle in both those matches. You know, able to get a goal before the half against FC Dallas, able to take the lead, and then really pull away in the second half against Real España. But they showed that, you know, bravado and confidence to just sort of look the opponent in the eye and, okay, you know, you're testing us, but we're not gonna collapse. We're not gonna let this get away from us. And Whitecaps teams in past seasons, we have seen some of those blowouts where a goal goes in early, inside 5 minutes, inside 10 minutes, and all of a sudden the wheels come off. And there was no sense of that in these last two matches. And so I think that's really, really good to see. You mentioned the return fixture. I think that's the, you know, eyes were really on that in a lot of ways. And you can't overstate, as you said, with some of the results in Champions League with upsets or just extremely competitive matchups between teams that you might not think are on level pegging. Well, now the Whitecaps get to go down to San Pedro Sula with a 5-0 cushion. The question is, how do they treat that? And what kind of voodoo are they going to be dealing with? Because I think Real España is going to know they have to pull out all of the stops in order to make this comeback a reality, right? So I think it's a really tricky one for Vancouver, because obviously they want to go down there and take care of business. But they've got LA Galaxy to focus on this weekend. They need to straighten out their MLS form. So I don't envy Vanni Sartini's position right now. I think it's an interesting one to manage. I mean, I was just flipping through my phone and, you know, the Whitecaps, as we speak, I think are probably heading up to cruising altitude on their way to Honduras. So yeah, really interesting to see how they're going to manage this trip, as not just for the match itself, but also for this upcoming weekend as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And I think, look, like you have to be realistic in the sense that, yes, like the Whitecaps, no matter what goes on, like they should win this. Like even worst case scenario, we're talking like out of 100% like ledger, like you're talking like a 0.51% chance of happening. Of course, Whitecaps fans will see that and be like, so you're telling me there's a chance? And they're not saying that in a good way, because like, as we know, sometimes the Whitecaps defy the odds. But I think that those percentages are worth noting. But at the same time, it's Honduras away. I mean, it's something where there's so much fascinating with this matchup. First of all, the travel, after playing on Saturday. One thing worth noting, I go on Google and I can only assume because I haven't seen anything, but Real España's game was postponed on the weekend. I know typically leagues, they do that to help their teams in their league. So I can only imagine that postponement was potentially just to give them any sort of chance in this game to try and extend their run. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was something weather related, but I just find that very interesting that the timing of that is what it is. And then it's played at the famed Olympico Metropolitano, which is just never an easy stadium to play at. The grass is always seems to be a little long or a little short. You know, it's going to be muggy. It's going to be hot. It's 32 degrees right now in San Pedro Sula. It's humid. Like, those aren't easy factors to overcome. I think it's something where, look, the Whitecaps, as long as they just sit in a relatively tame defensive shell, they shouldn't allow more than three, logically. So, like, they should be fine. But it is something to consider because it's like, how strong do you go? Do you come strong out the gates? Maybe do you get a 1 or 2 nil lead? Because if, look, if you get 1 or 2 on the road, that means 7, 8, 9 goals are what needs to go against you. That's a different task, but you do have a tough game coming up, an important game, because you're playing against, you know, an LA Galaxy side that is, you know, struggling a bit. You're on the road. So it's like, if you could go out there and get a, you know, get a result, it would be huge for your confidence. It's something where, like, you want to give yourself your best chance in the LA Galaxy game. Because if you lose there, all of a sudden 4 games, just 1 draw, yeah, you're through in Champions League, but then you have LAFC coming up potentially. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen in the other tie. It's one where you do have to keep a careful eye. So I'm very curious to see how the Caps approach this, because it's one where, look, if they can get that one goal on the road, because if they do, that means that Real España would have to score 7, which I think a number you could probably safely almost rule out, of course, knock on wood and all that. But there's still going to be one where they have to look ahead to that Galaxy game, especially considering they went full strength on the weekend.
Yeah, I think for me, that's the strategy is first 15, 20, 25 minutes, go out there and score a goal. Like, that's just, don't think about anything beyond that. Like, obviously they're not going to run 11 players back from the weekend, but I would expect, I don't know, if I was managing this, I would try to run out as close to a full strength lineup as you feel confident with. And then, yeah, go after that early goal. And once you get it, then you really consider, okay, how can we manage guys? How can we prepare for the upcoming weekend? I think that's your best path for success, you know, rather than massive squad rotation and just sort of bunkering in and trying not to get scored on 4 or 5 times. I think you give yourself a little extra cushion. You give yourself that away goal advantage, and then really the rest should take care of itself from there. So, you know, easier said than done, obviously. And again, just very curious to see exactly how Vandy deals with it. But I think, you know, sometimes just kind of outscoring your problems is the best way. And you have to think, like, if you're the Whitecaps, hey, we scored 5 goals against this team a week ago. We should be able to go out and get a couple of goals again. And I think if they're able to do that early on, they make life a lot easier on themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we'll go to predicted lineups soon, like not soon, but later in the show. Just I think it'll be fun to see how we think they balance the challenge of having to make 11 for España and then for the Galaxy a few days later. But yeah, no, 100%. I think we know what's at stake. We know what's clear. We know what's realistic. And I think the Whitecaps, they should be able to realistically manage this. I think this is something where, look, like, if you're throwing away a lead like this, like, there are no words for what that means. So, I mean, ultimately, I guess anything else to mention from the Champions League game, it feels funny to gloss over, but it was really that sort of result. Like, they won, they did what they needed to, and they got the job done.
No, absolutely. I think, yeah, let's talk FC Dallas, because to me, that's what's it's interesting in comparison to their first 2 losses and some of the things that carried over, some of the things that didn't. I mean, let's just dive right into the debatable stuff, which you've already alluded to, which is Christian Dahomey continuing to get starts at the number 10, and then the continued absence of Matias Laborda from the back line as a starter. And, you know, we're obviously happy that Ryan Raposo has supplanted Luis Martins at the left back position. That was sort of a long time coming, but still, I think question marks about the way Vanny set this team up. Now, I'll give credit to Vanny that he saw what was going on with Dahomey at halftime and made a call, made a decisive move, and that was good to see. But I think still questions as to whether or not Sartini is really maximizing what this team has to offer. I mean, a great example is just Dahomey's first half performance against FC Dallas. You know, we've been a big fan of Dahomey on this podcast. We've talked about what he has to offer, but the way this team is playing right now, guys like Alessandro Schopf, Julian Gressel, Ryan Gauld, intricate 1-2s, quick passing, you know, subtle off-ball movement, that's not Dahomey's wheelhouse. And it was just funny to see time and time again in the first half, the Whitecaps building up outside the box and it would come to Dahomey's feet and it would immediately be a heavy touch or immediately be a pass into space or Dahomey making a run, but he's marked or he's not in the right channel. Like it just, it felt like he was constantly a step off. And did you get the sense that, I know not everyone in Vancouver, not everyone in the comments section is in love with Pedro Vite's play, but Vite certainly has that sense and combines with the Whitecaps' best players a lot better than Dahomey does. And then at the back, I mean, we've talked about this before. It's just, to me, not using Matias Laborda as a, you know, you're unnecessarily handicapping yourself, right? He's one of your 11 best players. He should be, and I think is one of your best defenders. And it just doesn't make sense not to put him out there. And I mean, you can look at the Real España match and kind of go, oh, well, he missed a bunch of his crosses. It's like, okay, well, play Tristan Blackman at fullback then and play Matias Laborda as a center back. I think the solution's relatively simple. So, yeah, improvements from Vanni Sartini, but still some stuff where it just feels like this team's holding itself back a bit unnecessarily.
Yeah, and I think for Vanni Sartini, it's simple. Because if you look at the start of the season, the good news is your best players, for the most part, are playing like your best players. Like, I think Ryan Gauld is, through four games, has been excellent. I mean, he had his offensive outburst, so to speak, against España. But other than that, he's been really good, other than maybe the San Jose game, which, again, you'll excuse being on the road, whatever. You look elsewhere, Julian Gressel, I mean, one of your marquee signings from last year, he's been excellent. Andres Cubas, he's been Andres Cubas. Again, he's someone who's superlatives defy him just because he's just always so consistently solid. You know, even Alessandro Schopf is starting to look really good. You look elsewhere, Yohei Takaoka, again, I've been very impressed. I think it's ones where his goals, yeah, you could argue, oh, if they're coming from crosses, does that not fall on the goalkeeper? But again, I'm just team, like, I think the issues lie elsewhere other than Takaoka. So he's been fine. It's just, you look at some of the question marks on the team. There's 3 to 4 players in particular that Vanni Sartini must figure something out. And I think it's Christian Dahomey is number one, just because it's like, look, Dahomey is a great player, but it's something where if he doesn't fit the team, it's proven that you're better off going with Pedro Vite, because Pedro Vite is a great player, but also he fits the team better. So there's that double whammy. There's Luis Martins, which seems to have shifted. So I think it's something that's still up there, but it's just like Luis Martins. And I just say that because the Whitecaps, the way they play, asks a lot on the fullbacks. And from what we'd seen from Martins, he hadn't been able to follow up, and Raposo has been able to keep up a lot better. And then the third player is Matias Laborda, because again, he's a great center back, but it's like you're better off just benching Laborda if you're going to be playing him at right back. And that's, you know, just again, it's so strange that you bring a player in who is so good in Uruguay as a center back and you needed center back depth and to not play him there. But it's generally the point where, look, like the fullbacks, again, you need fullbacks who can go up and down the field. And that's what Raposo has been great. Even Jermaine Brown, like, honestly, he's continued to be very solid. Why? Because they're very good at getting forward. And hey, like, you can fault some of their defensive capacities, but one, look at Raposo, he runs back. Even on that chance, say, where Paul Arriola got in behind him and almost scored, look at the video. Raposo busting his gut to get back. And there's players, you know, you look at a guy like Luis Martins, he hasn't shown that box-to-box capacity. Even a guy like Matias Lobra, okay, he has the defensive ability, so you can trust him in there. He lacks what you bring going forward. And because the reality is, if you're playing with the 4-3-2-1, you need width. And that's what's provided by the fullback. So I'd say Dahomey, Laborda, and Martins. And you could maybe argue Sergio Cordova, but as a striker, I think it's something where he'll hit with time, he'll adjust. But Dahomey is the big one just because it's, yeah, the Whitecaps are playing great 1-2 touch, quick stuff. And there's just an unfortunate reality is when he's playing in that 10 position, he likes to slow things down and run at guys, which is, again, never a bad thing, but it is tough when you're the Whitecaps and you break a line and you're playing one touch and you open up a space and the ball hits Dahomey's boot and it just dies there. And the attack goes to waste. And then that is something that Vanney has to consider with Dahomey and then also the others. And I think once they get past that and they get some of the right players, the right fits, then we can really see the most out of this Caps team.
Yeah, I think in terms of just to build on some of your positives, like Julian Gressel currently third in expected assists in MLS. Like that right foot has been absolutely magnificent so far in this FC Dallas match. So many good balls into the box, not a lot of finishing on the end of that service, but I think that's something that will come. And then you mentioned Alessandro Schopp. I mean, I've been probably as hesitant about Schopp as anyone. And man, every match he's getting better and better. That athleticism, the higher motor is starting to kick in, I feel like. And I also like the fact that in and around the box, he's not afraid to look for a shot. He's not afraid to look for that final pass. There seems to be some killer instinct, some goal scoring threat in there as well, which is great from a midfielder. I mean, not only have the Whitecaps not had great box-to-box players over the years, but they've also not had midfielders that could really contribute a lot offensively. And so to have, you know, if Schopp and Gressel can do a little bit of that as well, that's going to be tremendous. So, I mean, the spine of this team in terms of those three in the middle of the park is fantastic. And I think something you don't have to worry about. But, you know, we talked about Laborda. We could talk about Karifa Yao. The question is, how do you stop all these crosses into the box defensively? How do you stop, essentially spotting the other team a goal every match because you just know you're going to concede a header inside the box? It's tough because you mentioned to me pre-show, Alex, like, you know, Ferreira is not an aerial threat. He likes to receive the ball at his feet and, you know, center back to center back when they scored against Vancouver. And so it really just does seem at the moment like that's the one glaring frailty of this team. You look at the XG chart, you just look through the eye test. They didn't concede much else. It was the headed chance that they scored on, that one Areola chance, and then like one Ferreira chance that was sort of a half opportunity. Other than that, the Whitecaps didn't offer up anything for FC Dallas and did a really good job shutting them down for the most part. But they're conceding these critical chances. All these goals have looked the same. It's essentially a wide open player between Vancouver's two center backs and in the ball goes to the back of the net. So if it's personnel, if it's tactics, at this point, the blame falls on everyone. It's just, okay, how do you find a solution? And I know Matias Laborda is only 5'11", but maybe putting him in there at center back would make a difference. And if not, you've got Karifa Yao, who could certainly be an aerial threat. And maybe I'm tipping my hand here a bit for Real España, but we talked about how Route 1 Real España likes to attack. If you want to see how comfortable Karifa Yao is starting at center back, I think that match would be a great opportunity to see what you have there in the Canadian.
Yeah, and the wide ball thing is fascinating because, look, like we can dive into attack, but it feels like the attack, again, I think the attack's going to sort itself out over time. Like Brian White, he's not going to miss very many more of those like headers, like on that one right before the end of the first half against Dallas, where I get Julian Gressel, that ball almost made me fall out of my chair. Just, or I wasn't even watching on my chair. Almost made me fall out of my bed watching the cross that he put in. And like White's going to score those over the course of a year. Like that was just a great save. Like Cordova's going to get his timing back. Like that run at the end of the game, he's going to maybe score that in a few months. I think the offense will correct itself. It'll be a market correction. Even Dahomey, maybe he'll figure out the style of play and adjust his game. And Vitae and Gall are going to keep cooking. I'm not worried about that. But the defense is a huge question mark because, look, like, the reality is, like, yeah, despite the Whitecaps' offensive struggles, they've still scored a goal every game. And had their defense, had they not had these capitulous, like, defensive breakdowns, they could have had at least 3 points. Like, saying, all I'm saying is 1-1 draw is fair in each of the three games if they don't have those boneheaded, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, aerial crosses. Like, that's to say, like, the margins, hashtag fine lines, the margins are so thin in terms of that. And it is something that has to be looked at because, yeah, I think this Espanyol-Dallas game showed it. Because, like, look, you can look at the San Jose game, say, for example. Yes, Christian Espinoza torched you, but okay, it's Christian Espinoza. Like, he torches a lot of teams. You can chalk that off. Like, okay, heck, maybe even in the first game against RSL, okay, it's your first game. You got sloppy. Like, okay, it happens. But the fact that España came to town, again, look, this is something they're good at. We've mentioned it. They're good at getting balls in towards their number nines. They almost cooked the Caps like three times in the first like 20 minutes on aerial balls. Okay, you're a bit worried. Then now Dallas, again, a team with like Jesus Ferreira, one of the best hold like false nines in MLS, but like he's not offering much of a threat in the box. So you're telling me the fact that a center back crossed a ball uncontested to the other center back and scored. Okay, that was like for me, the alarm bells like were ringing. I was like, okay, that like the other games, okay, there was like some excuses, but the España game, like the alarm bells, you started to hear something and then like that Dallas goal went in, like the alarm was going off. You're like, okay, something's wrong. And I think it's something 100% that has to be fixed. And look, I think it's something where Vanni Sartini is going to probably have to make some adjustments because it's like, I think it's something where you either change your personnel, because if you're going to run a very specific system and players just can't keep up, you either have to be willing to tweak the system or try other options. And given that Vanni Sartini's mostly kept this system over his time, like, again, you can't fault him for trying out a new system right now or something like that. It might be something where, look, you have to potentially tweak it. Like, someone, I mean, it's tough to see who falls out because, again, Blackman's been very good. Even Ranko Veselinovic, like, he's continues to be good on 1v1s. But how many aerial duels did someone like Ranko Veselinovic lose? Okay, at the very least, maybe you try out a Khalifa Yao in his position. As again, outrageous as it might seem, it's something where these sorts of goals are hurting you. Or you, again, you try Laborda, maybe you try Laborda and Yao together as a pair just to mix things up, or you tweak the defensive tactics. But given that Vanny has been consistent with these tactics, I just imagine it might make sense for more of the personnel. And then secondly, they also need to close down crosses. I mean, that feels like easier done than the center back issue. But like, again, it just, they cannot continue to give up these uncontested crosses given their lack of ability to defend said crosses. So it's just hilarious to see every game, the amount of times that players look up wide open, chance to throw it in the box. Like, there's a few times where Dallas this game had uncontested crosses, but luckily for the Caps, Ferreira was usually deep in midfield or somewhere else, but because they could have got burned Vancouver more than they did too, which is scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a center back being able to play in a ball like that so beautifully, it probably tells you everything you need to know about how urgently that was closed down. And it was just, I think it was something like, you know, Julian Gressel was tracking back, but no one, you know, Javane Brown was just sort of in space and no one else was around. Like, it was just, it felt like there were 10 yards in every direction from that player where he could just cross the ball in as he liked. And, you know, I mean, the MLS is a league with a lot of quality. You give any player on the pitch that type of space and they're going to be able to play in a pretty good ball. I mean, heck, Alex, you know, you and I might be able to play in a pretty good ball at that time of space as well. So
I fancy my chances.
Definitely something the Whitecaps have to look at. And yeah, it seems like Vanny has very firm ideas about how to mark these things in the air. So I think at this point, it's, if the players aren't getting the job done, then you have to consider how the players fit in that system. And if there's a different combination, I don't know who the casualty would be there. I mean, it's a bit crazy that Tristan Blackman, you know, played as a, you know, side of the back three center back and has played as a fullback, even played as a CDM a bit. The fact that Vanny seems so insistent on playing him at center back and center back only is a little bit strange. And so I don't know why you wouldn't just kick Blackman out wide and throw either Yao or Laborda in there, especially given that, like, yes, Jevane Brown, great at running back and forth up the side of the pitch and providing a little bit of that verticality. But also in this FC Dallas match, I think he went like 1 for 8 on his crosses. Like, you're getting the energy, but I don't know if you're really getting the final product and the threat that you'd actually be hoping for. And I think I would rate Blackman's ability to play balls in probably in terms of that technical ability more than I would Jevane Brown's. And maybe you just have to, you know, adapt exactly what you expect rather than having both fullbacks being runners. You have Raposo as a runner joining with the midfield, and you have Blackman, you know, who sort of joins in build up, but maybe doesn't provide quite the same threat. I think the Whitecaps need to think a little bit more asymmetrical with this formation, because it seems right now like, yeah, they're just either leaving themselves too exposed defensively or they don't have the right combination. And yeah, very difficult to win matches when you're just, you know, you walk into the stadium and it's like, okay, opponent, here's a goal for you. Now we're going to start playing. That's just, it's not a formula for success. The Whitecaps need to be able to keep clean sheets. And I think they have to do something different in order to get there.
Well, it's funny, Sam, you mentioned some interesting points, and I'm going to tickle your brain a little. Cause like the thing is with the Tristan Blackman thing, I've personally found that he's been fine at center back. So you want to hear a very fascinating stat, just cause I've got the numbers up on it.
Sure.
So yeah. Far this year, aerial duels, Tristan Blackman, I believe, is at 75% one.
Well, he was really, really good in the opener against RSL. I remember he won like 6 of his 8 aerial duels in that match or something. I do remember looking that up and being reasonably impressed.
This is according to FB Ref. He has 70 or 75. I closed the window, so I can't remember. Ranko Veselinovic has 41%.
Yeah. And then, well, okay, Ranko's a 1v1 defender. We definitely have established this, but are you going to play Ranko at fullback?
I'm getting there. 2022, bigger sample size. Tristan Blackman, 57% aerial duels, the best among cap center backs not named Florian Youngworth. Obviously, we can't use him because, I mean, you could, I guess, sign him to a contract.
Small sample size though as well, I would assume, with Flo.
Yeah, so Blackman led cap center backs with 58%. The next best ones were Eric Godoy at 53%. Ranko was at 52% in terms of aerial duels. And then that's pretty much it among center backs. It is something where, look, again, it's tough because I'm about as big of a Ranko Veselinovic fan as any out there in terms of just what he shows and what he brings to that back line. But it's something where, again, you're just looking at any sort of changes. Sometimes when something happens, and this has been happening last year too, you mentioned like the Caps have consistently struggled with wide balls. You do have to look for a solution. So it is something where if we're looking at the solution for the aerial duels, it makes sense to do the Laborda and Blackman swap based on experience, because Blackman can play a right back. But again, it's something where you're looking at what's going wrong. You'd almost be okay. Oh, again, like you have to be open to like Blackman Yao. Maybe you try Blackman Yao as the solution, because we know Yao's good in the air. And if Blackman's the best of the cap center backs in the air, and like, look, it's not me being anecdotal. That's numbers on this one. And it's true. Like Blackman has proven in the past he can be an aerial presence. It's something where if you're Vanni Sartini, you have to, as wild as you can, as it may feel, to throw out, again, Tristan Blackman, a natural right back, and Khalifa Yao, an untested center back, as your pair. But that's where it's at. I mean, of course, you can also talk about Blackman Laborda. You can talk about, you know, Laborda Yao. I'm not saying there's a perfect combination, but it's something where look, the numbers back up what we're saying. Certainly the eye test backs up what we're saying. It's something where I'm like, if it's continuing to happen, at a certain point, you do have to look at, you know, someone like Ranko Veselinovic, just because it's like, look, teams realize he's good at 1v1 and they're starting to maybe target him in the air. You know, you might want to throw, you know, mix things up a bit tactically, or maybe you switch to a back three and put Ranko Veselinovic outside of a back three to kind of mitigate that. Those are options you could consider as well.
Yeah, I think everything should be on the table at this point. I just think it's funny that, like, from a million miles up perspective, the idea that the Whitecaps might need to essentially move away from starting either of their two in air quotes, best center backs. Like the idea that the solution might be having Laborda and Veselinovic on the bench is just hilarious to me. But yeah, I mean, I feel fascinating
just suggesting it. But again, like we're looking at what's in front of us. Like,
well, my thought just is like, I guess I was kind of going in a slightly different direction than you, where, as I mentioned, like every single cross they've been scored on, I felt like it's been gaps between the center backs. And they played so much of last season in a back three or a back three and a half, where I feel like they're spacing. A guy like Ranko was used to defending with a bank of three, and now it's switched to two, and they don't have the same spacing. So my thought with kicking Blackman out is not that he would void him of his defensive responsibilities, but more that they would defend zonally on those crosses with essentially three center backs. And so you just have the extra man in there in order to defend those aerial balls. And that, yeah, if you lose some of the offensive prowess from that fullback position, I just don't think that's a big deal. I think that, you know, Schopf and Gressel and Gald and Vite, and there's enough there to create offensively. You need to stop giving away free goals.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, yeah, look, there's so much to go off of here, because then, like, a counterpoint, Laborda and Veselinovic played in that back four together against San Jose, and that was arguably the Caps' worst game aerially in terms of crosses. So it's one where it might not just be as easy as that personnel switch. So again, that's why I'm throwing out again, like, it's something where Yao and Blackman, that feels like those two have some unoffered potential. And look, maybe it's a back three. Maybe a 3-5-2 is the way to go to fix some of these woes. And it's something where, look, I think one thing is clear. You need to keep your midfield three, but it's something where, okay, maybe a 3-5-2. I don't know how you'd lay out a 3-5-2. Like, I guess you'd put Blackman, Laborda, Veselinovic if you did that. And then I guess that wing back, you'd put Raposo on one side, and then I guess you'd figure out who you want on the other side. And then up front, you'd probably just put White and Gold. I think, unfortunately, 3-5-2 would or Cordova and Gold. I think a 3-5-2 would sacrifice a Pedro Vita, unless you move a Julian Gressel up to wing back, which you could also do. Like, you know, it's something. Yeah, a lot of options to consider. But I think it's something where the Caps, I think everything should be on the table for them. I don't think they should be. Again, it's something where your center back group is good. Like the fact that, again, like a guy like Karifa Yao, you brought in, you wonder maybe you could start him. Etc. It just feels like the pieces aren't lining up to what the talent level is showing. And, you know, maybe you have to mitigate this in some other way by playing a higher line or something. But if you're going to be stubborn to the way you play it, you start to wonder if the guys they have on the field can do the job asked of them.
Okay. Well, without going on too much longer about defending crosses, which I'm sure Vanny is spending plenty of time diving into this week, I guess you've already mentioned it, but I'll just say a word and kind of echo your thoughts on the striker situation, where, yes, it's been dire so far. Yes, they need to start scoring goals, but I'm resolved to sort of look at the positives. I mean, this is a glass half full, glass half empty situation, but Brian White is fifth in MLS in terms of XG so far this season, 1.73 expected goals. And he's got zero goals in MLS play. So tough for his, you know, goals versus expected metrics. It's probably going to take him a long time to dig himself out of that hole. But overall, that's positive. The chances are there. And we do kind of know with Brian White that, like, all of a sudden he'll shave the beard or he'll do something slightly different and the balls will just start going in, right? Like he will find the back of the net eventually. And then in terms of Sergio Cordova, it still looks like there's a bit of hesitancy there. He's a little timid or unsure at times with his teammates. Maybe not as, you know, hulking and aggressive as you'd like to see from someone 6'2", such an imposing presence, because he really hasn't actually been that imposing presence so far. And I think that's probably the biggest thing you'd like to see going forward. But I know it's frustrating, and I know that Whitecaps teams over the years, it's been a constant refrain of, oh, we're creating the chances, but we just can't quite finish them off. But it does feel like this is something that's due for a market correction. And so, you know, hopefully that's something as soon as Real España on Wednesday, and then this weekend down in LA, they're able to sort of turn the tables and rectify a little bit. But like you, Alex, I think this is less of a fundamental concern than the defensive issues, the one specific defensive issue is.
Yeah, look, I think it's something it'll correct itself over time. I think some things to note, I think Sergio Cordova, I think for him, from his perspective, I think he just needs to go out there and just, like, for, again, for lack of a better way to put it, he just needs to show some more dog. I think it's something where, like, he just looks a bit lost out there right now. That's fine. New team, new system. They don't always necessarily play to his strengths. Like, I find it, like, I just find there's a few times where he's drifting in the spaces where he should be running, and you could see, like, Pedro Vite and Ryan Gold in particular got frustrated during the last two games because there were many times where they wanted to play him a ball and he wasn't making the right run. So I think that'll come with time, like you mentioned. But I also think for his perspective, until he figures out the tactics, I think he just needs to show some more dog, because like there are many times where like players would get the ball out wide and they'd look up for Cordova in the box because he's 6'2", and that's, you know, part one of the reasons, one of the things he's good at, and he wasn't in the box or he wasn't contesting 50-50s as hard as he could. And I think, again, it's something where from his perspective, when you're in an unfamiliar standpoint tactically, one thing you can always control is your work rate and like just how intense you are. And I do think that Cordova could use a bit of an uptick in that regard. So hopefully that comes, because again, I think we've seen glimpses. Brian White's the fascinating one for me, because I think it's something where, yeah, genuinely, like, I can't be like, in terms of the overall play of Brian White, I could arguably say he's been good to borderline great. Yes, it might sound wild and be like, what is this? You know, what am I on about to suggest that? But it's just the reality. Like, yes, should he have scored by now and could have won the Caps games? Yes. Like, he should have scored against RSL and killed that game off. He probably should have scored against Dallas and they win this game. Okay, yeah, on a game-by-game basis, for sure. But it's something where, look, like, again, you look at the numbers, you look at him, like, that goal, that header against Dallas, he's going to score that eventually. One of those balls that pounced up to him in the box, he's going to score. And I know it sounds, like, redundant to say, but he's fourth in MLS in terms of non-penalty XG, according to American Soccer Analysis. The only three players ahead of him are Hibbert, who went on an absolute heater for the Sounders, and we're feeding him, like, tap-ins. Jordan Morris, who... Sounders, again, just getting fed tap-ins, and then Julian Carranza, who plays for the Union. So the fact that Brian White is there in fourth, and then he was also second in open play XG. So I filtered out, just out of curiosity, free kicks, corners, and all that. So just open play and fast break, which is transition, he was second in XG. So it's not like he's feeding off set pieces or feeding off penalties. Like, he is genuinely doing the right things. And I think, again, you look at all the strikers around him, it's kind of funny, like, in terms of the open or the non-penalty XG, of the top 10 strikers, there's only two who haven't scored. It's Brian White and it's Darren Yappe, the youngster for Colorado, who's actually also looked very good if you've had a chance to watch Colorado this year.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before it comes around. And just, you know, adding to those stats, I think in terms of expected assists, you've got Ryan Gold and Julian Gressel inside the top 10. I think I'm racking my brain here, but pretty sure Gold is something like sixth and Gressel is third in MLS. So, you know, they've got the chance creation there. That's they've weirdly been off to a really good start in that department. It just underlines how strange and frustrating the start to this season has been. So I think the goals are going to come. The question is, can they stop conceding from crosses? That's really what they got to focus on. And it's going to be interesting with España coming up in Honduras midweek and then the LA Galaxy this upcoming weekend. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this.
And we're back, of course, having talked about what the Whitecaps did. Now we got to do the fun part, what the Whitecaps are about to do and who they're about to play. Busy week ahead for the Whitecaps. Champions League realities, of course. little trip down to Honduras Wednesday. That one goes earlier Wednesday. So if you are looking to tune into that game, it's at 4 Pacific time. So, you know, just in case you might be at work or anything like that, that's a bit of an earlier one there. And then, of course, on the weekend, they get to go to L.A. So, I mean, hey, in terms of weather, being in 30-plus degree San Pedro Sula, and then the nice weather of L.A. for Saturday, 7:30 at kickoff, a late one for the Whitecaps. Big week ahead. I think, again, we mentioned, like, you finished the job versus España, doing the least amount possible to strain your big guys is the goal. And then against Galaxy, a road win. I think this is the perfect sort of road win to target. Again, it sounds wild, but look, the Whitecaps have historically won a lot in this building in the past. And especially after last year, where they got battered here by LA Galaxy, they kind of almost owe them one. So that game was ugly. It was like the 4-1. I was at that game in LA, actually, so that's why I remember very fondly. Victor Vazquez masterclass that day. He's not around anymore, so a bit of relief for the Caps there. That's the sort of game you need to win, because the Galaxy are struggling-ish. I mean, 1 point from 2 games. They haven't looked all that great in either of them. They're making their first home game of the season, so that'll obviously give them a bit of an uplift. Like, a point out of 2 games on the road is never bad, but they haven't looked great. And it's one where, yeah, for the Whitecaps, who you just need to make up those home results, you need to get your MLS play going. This feels like the sort of game where maybe they can get some goals and get their forwards in particular firing. So huge week ahead for the Caps.
Yeah, really weird start to the MLS season for the LA Galaxy. That canceled El Tráfico that was supposed to happen at the Rose Bowl. I mean, that would have been such a huge, whichever team won that match, if it had been played, that would have been such a massive momentum boost to start the season, right? And instead, you're sitting around on opening day, not playing a match. And then that turns into 2 consecutive road matches where, neither of which LA Galaxy looked very good. First beat really soundly by FC Dallas 3-1, 3 second half goals by Dallas there. And then a 0-0 scoreline against SKC this past weekend that I think really flattered LA Galaxy. Like, the shots against, the chances against were overwhelming. Alex, I think you said you were looking at it something like 30 total shots for SKC, and Jonathan Bond had to make 11 saves. So just under pressure defensively and really not creating a ton. Ricky Pugh, you know, some speculative shots from outside the box, some knucklers that have given LA Galaxy a chance, but they haven't created a lot of grade A scoring chances. You know, what is it? Jovalich, their striker, has been quite isolated up front, and kind of in Jovalich. Okay, I just want to make sure I had that correct. Obviously, he's had some pretty good goal scoring form in MLS, so they got to find a way to give him more service. And then just kind of looking throughout their team, I mean, this is another prototypical Alex Greg Vanney midfield. He seems to love to go for like the slower veteran, more technical players. Like, you got a Mimo Rodriguez, you've got, you've got Gaston Brugman. So some good quality players, but I just watching through their first couple matches, it's like they do tend to get, spun around and overrun in the midfield at times. And I think also you look at them defensively, and I mean, we love what we've seen from Raheem Edwards in terms of like an MLS rejuvenation, but overall defensively, I think there's some frailties, especially when they get really going, trying to attack with overlaps. There can just be massive spaces open at the back, especially in wide areas. So that's something that, obviously, the Whitecaps do a lot of their attacking centrally for the most part. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how they match up and how they expose and get the most out of that. But I think it's an interesting matchup and an opportunity really for the Whitecaps to maybe jump on this LA Galaxy team before they get in full gear. Because I think this is an LA Galaxy team with a decent amount of quality. They're just struggling to get their season going a little bit, very much like the Whitecaps.
Yeah, I think, look, it's some, there's a reality to be had with the Galaxy that two things are going against them right now that will correct themselves. I think the one is that they've completely rejuvenated their defense. You know, some of the familiar faces that we were used to seeing, like a Sega Koulibaly, for example, he's around, but he hasn't really played much. Like you're looking at the likes of Martin Caceres, who was signed in the second half of last season. He's been getting integrated. Jalen Neal, fascinating prospect. He's just 19. He made his he made his US debut before his MLS debut. He dominated LA Galaxy 2 last year. He's been getting reps at center back. Of course, Eric Zavaleta, around, one of Greg Vanney's favorites from his TFC days. Chris Mavinga as well, another TFC guy integrated, of course, along with Koulibaly. I don't know what's up with him. He's in on the roster, but he wasn't in the last game. So just there you go. Like basically all to say, new faces at center back for them to integrate in, as well as, you know, someone like Gaston Brugman at the sixth position. He still only came in halfway through the last season. So you do wonder if there's been a bit of just continuous growing pains between the partnership with him and Ricky Puig and, Mark Delgado. And then the other big one is the attack. And I think there's one name that we've kind of buried the lead on that hasn't been there, and that's Chicharito. I think it's something where had he been healthy, maybe it's a bit of a different story. Because for whatever reason, Jovalicic, when he's been in the super sub role, untouchable. I don't know what it is about what Chicharito does to defenders. Like they're so like, I don't know, maybe it's his off-ball movement is just so perturbing for center backs that for 70 minutes to deal with that, and then Jovalicic comes on and then just his brute force way of playing just throws them off, and that maybe you can't bring that from a starting position. I think Chicharito's also been a big miss for them. And then other than that, I mean, they're just missing Douglas Costa right now with the calf injury. Not really a big deal given that he's been all over the map since joining MLS. And Chase Gasper, of course, missing, is currently out, but Raheem Edwards has more than made that left back spot his own. So I think I look at this Galaxy team, I think it's a team based on what they can do in midfield. Like when Delgado, Brugman, and Puig really get going and they get that center back situation sorted out, especially with Chicharito and Jovalicic as a 1-2 punch, they'll be fine. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Chicharito's healthy for this game. But other than that, last note on the Galaxy as well. Also, they recently signed Tyler Boyd. U.S. International was playing in Turkey for Beşiktaş for a while. So a bit of an interesting attacking depth. Maybe he's someone that once he gets his legs going in MLS, someone to watch.
Yeah, I think you lay that out pretty well in terms of this is just a team that will come around. It's the Whitecaps just want to go to LA and get their victory before the Galaxy have it figured out, right? So I think it's a good opportunity, especially because, you know, LA Galaxy played two matches total, and Vancouver, you know, this is going to be their fourth match in MLS play, but their sixth overall in terms of their season being underway. So should be in just a better run of form, a better run of matches, and hopefully can take momentum from what we're thinking is going to be a win down in Honduras. And ultimately, you know, the travel could be worse. Like at least you're saving a couple hours, not having to fly all the way back up to Vancouver. So this has gone for such a busy, congested series of matches. This has gone, I think, about as well in terms of travel and logistics for the Whitecaps as they could have hoped for.
I guess the only thing is it's too bad they play this Champions League game on a Wednesday, not on a Tuesday, just so they don't get that extra day maybe to recover and head to LA and get acclimatized in that front. But hey, look, I think I agree. It's something where the schedule is good. I mean, I guess, Sam, I don't know if you have much else to say about LA Galaxy in terms of the team. I guess some other notes to look at. Currently, right now, they are last in XG4 in the league, but that's because they've played one less game, albeit other teams that have only played two games, they're still below them, like a Minnesota United. When you filter to per game, they're still bottom 10. They are bottom 10 with just one XG per game. So obviously things aren't going great for them offensively. That's where we talk about Chicharito's absence. So if you're the Caps struggling a bit defensively, it's worth noting that none of the teams they've played except RSL are in the bottom tier, so like so Dallas, et cetera, a little higher up on the pecking order. So watch out for that. And then, of course, defensively, The Galaxy, if I'm not mistaken, haven't been doing great. They're allowing more XG than they are against. In fact, the Caps are only the Caps right now are seventh last in terms of XG for per game or XG against per game. The Galaxy is right behind them in like eighth, and they're like 0.1 less. So these are two teams that have struggled defensively. So maybe this is a sort of open game that the Caps will need on the road. Maybe they can get a goal or two to get that confidence going, and at the other end, maybe they can keep the Galaxy offense quiet, especially if they get the fortune of maybe dodging Chicharito for another week, because he's always dangerous. He's always someone. He's the exact kind of player that will torch the Whitecaps in this form, because he's great in the box on aerials, and I'm sure Greg Vanney will have seen the tape on that. We'll be instructing his wingers to get the ball in the box as much as possible.
Yeah, it's always tricky this early in the season because, you know, if we're in match 25, there's a great collection of data to sort of pour through and understand who's on form, how these teams are creating chances, what kind of chances these teams are giving up. But through 2-3 matches, the sample size is so small that it's a bit challenging to figure out what's really going on. And with a team like LA Galaxy, you know, you're missing important players that really change how this team's going to play. I think to me, the most fascinating battle to watch will be two veteran skilled midfields going up against each other. Cause you've got, you know, a center three for both these teams that they have a lot of quality, a lot of experience, good resumes. And I think when both of these teams, LA Galaxy and Vancouver Whitecaps, are at their best, they're going to play through that midfield three. So we've seen the Whitecaps kind of bully and overrun other teams with their midfield so far. But I wonder, this is going to be a bit of a different challenge. So especially on the road, where I would imagine the Galaxy are going to want to hold a fair bit of the ball. So I think that's just going to be a really interesting factor to watch. And then obviously for the Whitecaps, you know, can a Brian White, can a Sergio Cordova wake up from their slumber and take advantage of a regrouped defensive unit in the Galaxy that's still sort of figuring things out. And I mean, just in terms of goalkeeping, I will say that I think, you know, Jonathan Bond's been a really solid keeper in MLS for a number of seasons. So the Whitecaps shouldn't be getting any freebies there. And he's looked really good and been really busy through two matches for the Galaxy. So maybe a challenge for the strikers to get on the score sheet there. But again, yeah, I think just that, to me, that midfield matchup is going to be the most fascinating, because that's a best on best there.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be a measuring stick for that Caps midfield, because we've talked it up a lot, and deservedly so. Like, they've looked like on paper a unit that could be amongst one of the best in MLS this year. But for that to be reality, they're going to have to go out and prove it. I think this is a great game for that, because I think the prime example is last year when the Whitecaps played LA Galaxy in that, you know, bit of a battering, I guess you can call it again. The score was 4-2. Oh, no, just kidding. I have the wrong score here. It is, that game was 5-2. I remember it now. That was quite the high event game. My goodness. So it was 5-2, and the midfield battle was Delgado, Brugman. Puig hadn't made his debut yet, but he was about to, I think, the next game. And for the Caps, they had Andres Cubas and Russell Tybert. Of course, Ethan Ongaro made his one and only MLS start in that game. But what happened was Delgado and Brugman just ran a train through that midfield. Like, it was, and Vazquez, he was the third one, actually. It was a three-man midfield. I just remember Vazquez, with his 37-year-old legs, was the best player on the pitch by a country mile. So I think if you look now and you look at how things have changed on both sides, the fact that obviously the Caps have now three in the midfield, and I think the fact that Delgado, Brugman are still there, and they've only gone and upgraded Vazquez with Puig, I think this is going to be a great test to see how far this midfield has come. So I am looking forward on that, just because, yeah, if you're a sicko and you want to go watch back that game, like, the Whitecaps just got absolutely decimated in midfield, like, rough. And I think this game against Puig, Brugman, and Delgado will really test if this midfield can be amongst one of the best in MLS, because so far they've been playing like it, as wild as it is to say about a Whitecaps midfield.
Well, and this has been the characteristic of Greg Vanney teams, right? Is that they sort of have, it's maybe not like the the uber physical high motor box to box guys, but just like really consummate midfield professionals. You mentioned like a Vasquez at 37 or a, I can just think guys back to the TFC days too, right? Where maybe the athleticism wasn't there, but just the technical knowledge, the veteran savvy, they always find a way to like really be midfield dominant. And so how is that going to match up against a Vancouver team that really kind of has all the ingredients? You know, they got the destroyer in Andres Kubas. You've got the service maestro and Julian Gressel. And then you've got Alexander Schopp, who's kind of shown that he can do a little bit of everything so far in this MLS season. So super, super exciting. And I think we just show such a level of growth in this Whitecaps team if they're able to match up against that midfield three for the Galaxy and really hold their own. And I think they're more than capable of it. So hopefully Vanny sets his team up in a way. Hopefully Vanny has the ability to set his team up in a way where they can really go head to head and you know, not just defend in LA for a point, but really go after all three.
100%. I think it's something where it's laid out for them to be able to do that. And look, this is the sort of team where if you want to be, again, I it sucks with the new playoff format that we have to preface. If you want to be a top four team, because I think it's one where you can be a playoff team and lose a game like this now. But I think these are the sorts of games, if you want to be a team that gets home field advantage, that really makes a run, especially because you have to remember, like, yeah, with this new playoff format, yeah, all the early games, you get like home field advantage goes out the window. But in other rounds, it goes back to single leg. And like, if you're finishing ninth, there's a reality that if you win, you could end up playing like one of the top two teams on the road in a single leg game. And you don't want that. So there is benefit to finishing higher up the standing. So these are the sorts of games you need to win if you want to make that happen. I guess other than that, like, let's do predictions, I guess. Let's just keep it simple. What we'll do is, since we didn't predict the Dallas game, and they get their first points of MLS season. So I guess that's the soccer, the soccer gods maybe giving us a bit of a net neutral on that one after Sam and I. We actually finally got predictions sort of right against Real España. We finally both predicted the same thing and that thing happened. I think it was kind of predictable, to be fair. So we'll see. We'll predict lineup and score for España, and then we'll predict lineup and score for LA Galaxy. We're just like, basically, let's just protect. We'll predict both, because I don't think we'll have much to say after whatever goes on in midweek unless it's a complete capitulation. So we'll just kind of try to figure out and be wizards in terms of what the Whitecaps will do on Wednesday and on Saturday, because I think they'll very much affect each other.
Yeah, I'll say right now that if the Whitecaps blow this 5-0 lead, we'll do an emergency podcast between the two matches. Don't worry about that, but hopefully it doesn't happen. I'll submit for the record that in our 86 Forever thread, where we keep track, I predict a 2-1 Vancouver win against FC Dallas. So, near miss there, but I didn't feel like I was that far off the mark. Okay. Real España this upcoming Wednesday. I think the Whitecaps are going to go relatively full strength. I don't think we're going to see a ton of changes. So I am going to go Yohei Takaoka at the back. I'll go, this is interesting, at fullback. I do wonder what they do here. I'm going to say Ryan Raposo, and then I'm going to say Matias Laborda and Karifa Yao. And then I think I'll throw in like a Tristan Blackman at right back. So we're going to go just funky, different. We're changing up the defensive chemistry. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're going to switch things up. Now, I do wonder, as you know, Gressel and Schopf have both been a little banged up. So I do wonder about the two of them. If one of them gets the match off completely. So I guess I'm going to say, I'm trying to decide which one of them, basically. Because Schopf just came back from injury, but I also kind of noted a couple moments in the FC Dallas match where Gressel pulled up a little bit. So I'm going to say Schopf, because he's actually coming back from a a genuine injury that kept him out. Maybe he gets the day off. So we're going to go Kubas, Gressel, and Berhalter in the midfield. And then I think we will get, I'm going to say Ryan Gold and Pedro Vite. And Gold's one of those guys, obviously, you look to give a yank early on if things are going well. And then I'm going to say Sergio Cordova up front because he needs more minutes. He needs to build chemistry. So, yeah, I think that's where I'm going for Real España. So not too many. The most drastic changes at the back really there for me. And the rest you try to keep as close to normal as possible. And then scoreline, you know, I'm going to say like 2-2. I think it'll be highly chaotic, but ultimately more than enough for the Whitecaps to see this thing out.
Yeah, interesting. I'm going to go a bit more different, I suppose, than you on that. I think I'm going to go Thomas Asol in goal. I think this is a great chance to throw him in for that first start. And I think you should have confidence for him to go out and do a job in this environment, and we'll be good to just get him minutes. So I got Hassal the start. I got a back four. I got the center backs. I think will be. I got Laborde and Yao. I look at something where tactically.
So that's where we're both in on Laborde and Yao then for center back. I love it.
Yeah, I think you just give the night off to Ranko. And hey, look, if you all of a sudden start winning everything in the air, you start to look at what that means. In terms of the fullbacks, oh man, I have no idea because I don't think Ryan Raposo. I think after back-to-back 90s, it might be a big ass task for a third because you honestly want to save him for the Galaxy game anyways. Well,
so my only thought there is that, yeah, if you play a midweek, then someone else is probably starting on the weekend. So I guess it's whatever matchups Vanny likes there and which he thinks is better for the given opponent.
Yeah, and I think given the fact that Martins is also dealing with a knock, I'm going to have Ali Ahmed at left back. I think he showed well against Dallas. Yeah, he had that moment where he lost the aerial ball, but he made two really good tackles before then. I think that's one where, look, the aerial ball thing happened. He recovered well. I think you showed this would be a good faith of trust. I think this would be his first start as a Whitecap, and why not in an environment like this? I think he'd do well as well, the way he can stretch out the play with his legs. So I got Ahmed, and then at right back, I guess Blackman or Brown played. So like maybe they go Brown or Blackman again, I guess.
Well, like, my thing, I was going to say Javane Brown, but Javane went a full 90 minutes. And we know how leggy Javane gets. Even a couple times in that match, you saw him sprinting up and down and then he looked gassed. I couldn't believe they kept him in. Like... So I can't see Javane going again midweek, especially after travel.
That's where I'm torn. So I think we're going to see Blackman. Maybe we see Brown just to save Blackman a bit for the Galaxy game. Who knows? In my midfield, okay, you might be looking at my backline, what's going on. Midfield, actually, I think is a little more straightforward. I got Kubas just because I think you need a bit of solidity there. And I think with him on the field, you're not risking throwing away a game of this magnitude. Then I have Sebastian Berhalter next to him. I, you know, give him a start. The third player, though, I think I have an interesting one. I'm going to go JC Nagando in the midfield three. A bit of a wild card, but I think, look.
Love it.
I'd say Julian Gressel, yes, but I just think it's something where, given his legginess, if you can save him, go for it. And I think, why not give Nagando a look? He looked really sharp in that game against Espanya off the bench. And, I mean, we've heard a lot of good things about him. This could be a chance to throw him in and see what he's made of. And I think in a midfield like that, it could be fun. And then the front three I have is Pedro Vite and Christian Dahomek. So you give Ryan Gold the night off just because it's Gold. You know how he is. He's going to play way too intense and risk an injury in a 5-0 game. And it's like it's something where you save him. So you go Vite and Dahomek, and then you go Sergio Cordova up front. And look, that's a trio with some Libertadores experience, a trio with a lot of, you know, experience in these sorts of hostile Central South American style atmospheres. I think maybe they find a bit of magic together, and maybe this is what especially Cordova and Dahomey need to find a bit of confidence, a game like this. So that's kind of the lineup I went. It's a bit haphazard, but I still think you get a good mix of rotation and looking at new guys, but also getting a good core of guys who either will hold the team together or who need a bit of form depending on their roles.
Okay. And score prediction.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll go 1-1. I mean, just
no nonsense, low event game. Caps try to mug things up with Kubas and company in the middle and maybe try to get one the other way. And then just knowing them, they concede like a corner or a cross or something.
I was going to say, like, the San Pedro Sula soccer gods just won't allow a clean sheet. I don't think there's any chance the Whitecaps walk out of there with a clean sheet.
I mean, especially because they don't have one already this year. Like, this isn't going to be the game where they get their first.
No, exactly. Okay, so we'll move on then. We'll just run it back and do the same thing for LA Galaxy. So we're assuming that it's a little scrappy, but the Whitecaps come out with a CONCACAF Champions League win. They're moving on to the next round. And they also, as we both suggested, you know, manage to keep a good amount of their players fit for the weekend. So that leads to my lineup, which will be Yohei Takaoka in goal again. To be honest, I think you're probably right. Maybe now, the more I think about it, that Thomas Asal might start. But I don't know. I just feel like keeper, you can run out there match after match. Yeah, exactly. So especially the way Takaoka plays, like, he just, it doesn't feel like he has to dive that aggressively very often. He's he kind of keeps within himself for the most part. So I could see him playing both if the Whitecaps really wanted to do that. Anyway, so I'm going to stick with that. Now at the back, this is where I think it gets interesting. I'm going to go Matias Laborda left back this time. We're going to go Ranko Veselinovic and Tristan Blackman at center back. And then we're going to go Javane Brown at right back. I feel like this is the way Vanny wants to trot out his team. So it's just going to keep happening. And then the midfield, hopefully everyone's fit and healthy. You go Kubas, Schopf, and Gressel. And then you go Ryan Gold and Pedro Vite again, hopefully in those dual number 10s. And then I think Brian White gets a start up front. So that's a reasonably no-nonsense starting 11. And I don't know, maybe because I had Vite starting midweek, maybe you get a Dahomey start instead of Vite on the weekend down in LA. I could see that as well, even though that probably wouldn't be my personal choice.
Yeah, I mean, for me, pretty straightforward. I'd say Takaoka in goal after he gets his little rest. I think you get Raposo at left back after his little rest. Then you go Ranko Veselinovic after his little rest. No, don't worry, I won't say that after everyone, but I'll have Veselinovic pair up. I'm going to say with Laborda. I think it's something where maybe we finally see that pair together. And I think it's hopefully it's trending that way. Cause surely, like, again, like the fact that we saw Blackman, Laborda, and Veselinovic in a back three for the last 10 minutes of the Dallas game makes me wonder if we're going to see more of, you know, that sort of thing. So I got Veselinovic, Laborda, and Blackman out wide in the right back position. I think it's one where Javane Brown could also slot in, considering I didn't have him playing away. So I also could consider Brown there, but I don't know. I have Blackman out there for now. Maybe Brown slots in. In midfield, I go Gressel, Schopf, Kubas, no nonsense there. And then up front, Gold and White. As for the third position, I'm going to go Vite. I think he, even though he starts for me in the midweek, he shows well. He didn't start this most recent game, so it's not like he's going to be have this all this accumulation on him. So you give him a look, and then so I'd say pretty close to full strength. I'm just really not sure at that right back position what ends up going on.
It's interesting though that for the LA Galaxy matchup, we both have versions of something that looks like a 3.5 at the back type system, with really you're playing your three natural best center backs and then one sort of wild card fullback, which is, again, I feel like I'm just reiterating what we said throughout 2023 in this podcast, but they did that to such good effect in the preseason, and it's just, why have they gone away from it in the regular season? Not sure what's going on there. But okay, we need score prediction as well for LA Galaxy. I'm struggling with this one a little bit, but I'm going to go 2-2. So I'm doing 2-2-2 results in a row. I feel like LA Galaxy really needs some momentum. They need some home points to get their season underway. And I just think busy week going down on the road. I think the Whitecaps play well, but again, are maybe a little disappointed to walk away with 1 point instead of 3.
Yeah, I mean, prediction, I could go anywhere and have an excuse. I mean, again, it's MLS, so that's not a bad thing. And because of that, I'm just going to go the fact the Whitecaps have historically done well in LA other than last year and their battering and the fact that they're going to LA with a new team versus that one that got battered. I'm going to go 2-1. Just, I think, I don't know, I'm getting vibes like in 2020 when the Whitecaps had that tough first game against SKC and then they went out into the Galaxy and kind of got their season back on track till COVID derailed it a few days later. So I'm gonna go 2-1 Whitecaps. When I don't know, I just think this is the sort of road matchup where in the past, again, the Caps have played some very good Galaxy teams and have pulled results out of their wazoo. Like, this is the sort of fixture that for the most part they have fancied. So I'm gonna go that 2-1 win.
Alex, I love it. That's our first result disagreement of the season. Yeah, which means one of us will probably be. Now. Well, no, it means one of us will be right. I think the real curse is when we're in agreement, especially on a contested result. Then you can definitely book that something else is going to happen. But okay, I think, you know, ultimately, while, you know, maybe my draw prediction against the Galaxy seems a bit on the negative side, but I do think if you advance in the Champions League and you walk away from this weekend with a road point, I know that in the grand scheme of things, you're going to look at 2 points through four MLS matches and be a bit frustrated, but I do think that all you can do is focus on the matches in front of you. And if that's the result at the end of this weekend, that's not the end of the world. Again, really, you can't hammer this home enough. The focus is 3 points at home, 3 points at home, 3 points at home. They need to do more of that. Ultimately, whatever you can pick up on the road is, you'll take it. So I think it should be a good week and weekend for the Whitecaps, and hopefully they can clean up some of these issues, build on some of their positives. And oh man, looking forward to, if it is indeed, we're not going to count our chickens before they're hatched, but if it is LAFC against the Vancouver Whitecaps in the next round of the Champions League, that will be awesome. Alex, as you mentioned pre-show, LAFC buzzing right now, playing really, really well. So that's both scary for the Whitecaps and very exciting because you're getting to go head-to-head in a continental competition with a big team playing some really good football. And if the Whitecaps want to be contenders, these are the kind of matchups they're looking for, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the biggest part about what you said. I mean, MLS, look, like we know what we'd want to see from the Whitecaps in MLS. They're not showing it yet, but I'm sure you'll take some of this if it means a run in Champions League. So look, hopefully they can do well in particular in this competition. For whatever reason, Canadian teams have good history in this competition. I think it's fascinating that the Whitecaps have been there only twice, made a semi in one of them. Montreal, of course, has their final run where they almost won. Toronto has a final run where they almost won. This feels like a good competition for Canadian teams. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, like, I wonder, that's actually a good thing to study. Like, I wonder if it's maybe like the travel up to Canada, like those extra few hours, maybe that just gets teams a bit more, because even the fact that Seattle was the only team to ever win, they're a little close to Canada. So maybe something to study there. Kind of gives you that built-in geographical advantage, the same way going down to Costa Rica, going down to Honduras sucks because it's so far. So hopefully the Whitecaps can capitalize that. Again, tough draw, but still a good draw in the sense that you're playing, if you get through this, you're playing MLS teams likely to the final, because unless, unless Atlas pulls out a miracle, I guess you could also get Olympia. So gonna be fun to see how that that goes. And we'll be seeing, because I love the Champions League. Gonna be interesting to see if the Whitecaps could make a run. But I guess enough rambling from me. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Gungerusic, at BTS Fan City, BTSFanCity.com. I guess we'll be back for more Whitecaps chatter very soon after these couple of games here. Hopefully we can get some good results to talk about on the show, and then see where that leads the Whitecaps.
Yeah, as always, I'll mention I'm very thankful for the couple afternoon start times, most recently FC Dallas and then this one upcoming midweek. This is pretty much it for me in terms of those really watchable start time. So looking forward to that on Wednesday. And yeah, hope everyone enjoyed the show. You can find me, as always, at Samuel_Rowboat on Twitter, at 86forever.com. You can find our podcast at Third Sub Pod on Twitter, at The Third Sub on Instagram. And as Alex said, we'll be back again soon within the week. And thanks, everyone, as always, for listening.